This is the Father Matters Show with your host, Vance Sims. Father Matters is committed to building stronger, healthier communities by supporting, encouraging, and enlightening today's fathers and families. And now, your host, Vance Sims.
Welcome to the Father Matters Show. I'm your host, Vance Sims. Thank you for joining us on Faith Talk 1360, KPXQ. Mark your calendar for our Father Matters Job and Training Institute, June 3rd, and our Man Talk Workshop, June 17th. Go to fathermatters.org for registration information. Today's guest is Essen O'Toole, founder of REAP, R-E-A-P. Welcome to the Father Matters Show, Essen.
Thank you for having me.
What does REAP, R-E-A-P, stand for?
So REAP is an acronym for Real Engagement Through Active Philanthropy. And so, you know, REAP, as we know, you reap what you sow. And so when we were thinking about this group called REAP, or thinking about this Black Men's Giving Circle, we thought, what an apt name, what a perfect name for this in terms of making investment in our community and really planting seeds that we'll later see that that harvest on. So that's where the name REAP came from, and that's what it stands for.
Yes, I like what you said. You said Black Men Giving Circle. Unpack that
exactly.
A little bit. What is that about?
So, philanthropy is an interesting concept in that it's been going on for forever, essentially, mm-hmm. right? So people have been giving, whether it's been of their time, their talents, their finances or treasures. And in the Black community, specifically, we are givers, and we give in lots of different ways. I mean, the number one place that we give, research shows, is in church, mm-hmm. right? Which is not surprising. But there's also been a focus on really unveiling, if you will, and pulling back the curtain on philanthropy and getting folks involved in philanthropy and really looking at more strategic investment. Not to say, you know, I'm somebody that tithes every Sunday and invests in my church and invests in, in what we're doing and our vision as well. But this is another avenue and another way for me personally to give. And so pulling back that veil of philanthropy, something I grew up not knowing much about and was able to be exposed to later in life as an adult, was really interesting to me. And I wondered, you know, how many other brothers like me mm-hmm. maybe don't have a good sense of what philanthropy really looks like or how to get engaged. And so that's one of the reasons that we founded REAP.
And you have three other partners, right? How did four of you come together, and why did you start REAP? Because I know you want to give and give back to the community, but why? How did the four of you get together, and why? And who are you going to be giving back to?
Right. So I'm really blessed to have three other founding members, Mr. Terry Love, Mr. Chuck Kelly, and Mr. Tyrone Benson. Three remarkable brothers in their own right that bring a lot to the table and really stepped up in terms of this idea and vision I shared with them and saying, yes, we'll go along with you on this ride and this journey. And so Terry, Tyrone, and Chuck attended sort of a very casual first meeting that we had over dinner with a few other brothers. And I just shared, here's the idea. I'd been involved with the Arizona Community Foundation's Black Philanthropy Initiative for about 4 years. And I think it's been a successful initiative. And I think we got to the point as a group, as a task force, that we said, well, what else could we be doing? And so we looked around the country, you know, and said, what else is happening across the country that we might be able to adopt or duplicate, borrow from, et cetera? And this idea of giving circles, which is not a new concept by any means, was something that came from one of our members. Actually, Terry Love, who I mentioned, is one of our founding members. So Terry and I both sat on this this task force that for the Black Philanthropy Initiative, and Terry brought up this idea of giving circles. He'd been involved in a giving circle back in his home prior to moving to Phoenix. And so we said, let's explore that idea. What if we had giving circles, Black men's and Black women's giving circles here in Phoenix, not something that we currently have? And so that idea really spawned from there. And I was asked to think about putting together the Men's Giving Circle, which I definitely obliged and said that's a great idea. I'd be happy to lead that. Mm-hmm. And so that's really where the idea came from, and really that backing from the Arizona Community Foundation, from this Black Philanthropy Initiative that they really put the effort in starting and forming as a result of some of their Black donors and some of their African-American board members at the Community Foundation, which is a $600 million foundation.
Right.
So it's a large entity here in Phoenix.
So how can other people get involved if they want? So basically, if they donate to REAP, is it tax deductible?
Absolutely. So that connection to that to the Arizona Community Foundation allows folks that contribute to REAP, just like any other fund at the foundation, a full tax deduction, mm-hmm. as they would for any other charitable contribution. And so if folks are wondering, how do you become a member of REAP, what we all committed to, and this is typical of giving circles, is a set dollar amount each year, mm-hmm. for a certain amount of time. And so for REAP, we agreed on $1,000 a year for 3 years to start with. And I anticipate myself and others will continue with that beyond that initial 3 years. But as a goal of being able to put $25,000 in our fund at the Arizona Community Foundation, and then really thinking about how do we reinvest in our community, mm-hmm. In organizations and programs that are really impacting in a positive way the Black community here in Phoenix, we have that opportunity to sort of, I like to use the term, FUBU, for us, by us, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have the opportunity to give to programs and organizations, as African-Americans, which doesn't happen a whole lot,
right,
in terms of financial investment. So.
Well, what I love about what you're doing, because there are so many great mom-and-pop organizations, grassroots ministries and organizations, yeah. as well, who are doing services out of the trunk of their car or right at the local community centers, and they can't get that seed. And there are a lot of huge foundations right here in Arizona, all around the country. And when they try to tap into those organizations, those agencies, those foundations, they get that brick wall, you know, and it's like, they don't have a board of directors, or they've got to already have $1 million in their bank account.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing a lot is there are agencies getting funded by some of these big programs, these big foundations. And then because they know how to write a grant, right. they have the I's dotted and the T's crossed. And then they're going to the grassroots programs to actually get the work delivered.
Yeah.
So what I love about what you're doing, you're going to take this basically to the minority organizations, the Black organizations who are doing the services in their community. Who best can do and provide a service in the Black community than a Black leader or a Black organization that's doing
yeah.
things? So what would someone do? Do you reach out to those organizations, or would an organization reach out to you and say, hey, we need funding to deliver this service?
That's a great question. And I can tell you, just to give you a little bit of background, we opened this fund at the Arizona Community Foundation in May of 2014. And so this is still a relatively young organization. We have 12 members so far. We're going to cap it at 15 members. And just so we can manage ourselves well, and as they say, too many cooks in the kitchen, right? And so one of the things that we've been doing to really prepare ourselves for that day that we'll be able to actually grant out dollars is to bring organizations in to really find out more about them. This mainly comes either from our members or from word of mouth. Hey, there's somebody out there. This organization's out there. They're doing great work, or they have this great program that really focuses on some of the areas that we want to be able to support financially and otherwise. And so we've been inviting several organizations in to our monthly meetings just to present and just to talk to them a little bit more and find out what it is they do, what sort of supports that they need in preparation for being able to actually grant dollars to these organizations and programs.
See, that's awesome. You also have, I saw on your website, you have four focus areas.
Yeah.
Because people need to also understand, just because you're giving monies to Black organizations that are all doing great things, you got to also say, hey, we got to cap it off somewhere, just because everybody is doing something. What are the four focus areas that you are willing to fund?
Right. So we really, as you said, we have to, you know, it's incumbent upon us to really narrow down focus, right? So we can't fund in everything and anything and everything, and we can't be everything to all people. But for us, what's important to us as a group is really funding things like career exploration, succession planning, educational enrichment, and college preparation. So when we think about young people, and our focus is really on young men, and so when you think about young black men in Phoenix and elsewhere, they may not have the opportunities to really do the sort of career exploration that other kids may have. We want to be able to provide that for them. They may not, when we think about succession planning, it's a broad term. It's sort of conceptual, but we really want to think about who will our next leaders be. How do we prepare them to take over for us? How do we pass that torch and pass the baton? And we've had some interesting conversations about succession planning, specifically in Phoenix, because a lot of times that torch is not being passed. And so we want to change that paradigm a little bit in the process of what we're doing. So succession planning is important to us. That's why we chose that as one of our focus areas. And then educational enrichment, we know that schools are their budgets are being cut, districts are being cut, the state budgets are being cut. And so, you know, some of these enrichment programs that kids really, really need, be it, you know, things like music education or even physical education, is being cut out of schools right now, or being, you know, grossly reduced than what we saw and got to experience maybe when we were growing up. And so we want to be able to supplement those sorts of programs. And then the college preparation, obviously we want to encourage and support and really guide young black men into preparing for college or higher education. And so those are really the areas that we want to be able to focus on. And we do that really, we also have three pillars. Mm. Pillars are guiding, growing, and developing. And so when we think about that, we want to just make sure that we provide opportunities for guidance, for growth, and for development for these young men that we work with.
So, and you say the education, like the music programs, are you going to be willing to give the dollars to those schools or mm-hmm. to black organizations that are providing that service and the kids can plug in after school?
Right. So, you know, the interesting thing about starting something like a men's giving circle is it's a learning process. And so in that process, we really figure out how will we logistically distribute these funds when we get them. And so what we envision happening ultimately is finding and identifying organizations that are supporting young black men in this sort of age range that we've identified, and providing funding for those individuals or those programs themselves. And so that's sort of where we are in that process and what we've decided as a group.
See, that's powerful right there. You're listening to The Father Matters Show with Vance Sims. And today's guest is Essen O2, founder of REAP, REAP. We'll be back after this message. Hey, Father Matters Show family, will you show us some love? We want the Father Matters Show to be your community and family resource program by providing you right now answers for right now issues. Become a Father Matters Show champion by liking Father Matters on Facebook. If you miss us Saturday night, log on to blogtalkradio.com, soundcloud.com, or fathermatters.org and share the Father Matters Show with your friends and family. Thank you. And we're back with Essen O2, founder of REAP, REAP. If you're just tuning in, you can catch the top of the show at fathermatters.org. Also catch the Father Matters Show nationally every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time by logging on to blogtalkradio.com, or catch our archive shows anytime worldwide at soundcloud.com. Essen, we've been hearing some powerful, awesome things about REAP, you know, the four focus areas. You know, you have your three pillars, three phases, your partners. Now let's talk about the why. Why REAP?
That's a great question. And I think that's the most important question for us is why do something like this? Why commit to reinvesting in our communities? And, you know, I think I'll start with, you know, we want to really create a new expectation and a new norm, if you will. So we want to see black men for generations reinvesting in their community, saying, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to set aside financial resources. I'm going to sacrifice to put money back into my community where it's needed. I'm going to be responsible for filling some of these gaps that we know exist now and we also know will exist in the future. That's really why we're doing it. Our mission, you know, providing black men with a mechanism for community investment through active philanthropy talks directly to that. We want to provide that mechanism, that way to get there. How do you participate in active philanthropy? And active philanthropy meaning we're not just going to write a check, hand that check off to somebody and hope good things happen with it. We're going to get our hands dirty. We're going to really be active in that process. And if I can give you one example of what we've done so far in terms of that active philanthropy is we have a great partnership here in Phoenix with the Ball School District. It's a district where, you know, that they have some struggles there. Some of the students, and it's a smaller district, the students and families there deal with a lot in terms of the economic situation that they're in and lots of other things that come up there. One of the things that we've been doing is going into their second grade classes every Friday and reading to the students there. Might seem like, okay, that's nice, that's a great thing to do, but we see that as having a really important impact. They're seeing, and this is a school district with lots of kids of color, lots of African American kids, but we see this as an opportunity to create a new expectation, right? And I keep going back to that because that's really important to us. We want to be able to show these students, hey, look, I've sat where you've sat, we want to be able to provide them with an understanding of why it's important to give back. We want to be able to provide them with a visual example of that. We want them to see other people of color, specifically black men, coming in, doing something positive, and really engaging them on a long-term basis. And so this is not something that we plan to do for just this school year. It's something that we want to be able to establish as a long-term partnership. And the hope is, as we establish these partnerships, we can also help fill some of these gaps that the schools have. And we know that there are several gaps that financial needs that this school district currently has that maybe we'll have the opportunity to really help with.
Absolutely. And what I love about that, you say you guys go in every Friday. Yeah. Now, you knew about all the craziness that happened in Baltimore last month.
Exactly.
I'm from Baltimore.
Yep, I know.
So that hit me in my heart. And what I realized, I was, you know, some of my cousins, you know, were sending me clips and Facebook clips. And what I saw were the mothers basically telling their sons that they better get home, telling their sons that they better get out of the street or they too will be arrested. And my question was, where were the fathers? And I grew up without my dad. And if I would have saw a positive black man, you dress sharp today. Every time I saw your crew, you guys are always sharp, dress sharp. If I would have could have had a black male, older black man come in and read, it would give me something to look up to. I was surrounded by women most of the time. Now, my grandfather raised me when I was little, you know, but I'm talking about if you didn't have a ball in your hand or a microphone in your face, you know, you weren't nothing. We didn't see that. We didn't have that. And so I don't want to play down the fact that, well, you know, we go on Fridays and we read the second grade. See, that's major. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Because those little boys, they're listening and they're watching. They're watching the demeanor. They're watching how a man reads, how a man speaks, how a man carries himself. So it's not like you said, and I love the fact that you said you don't just give checks. And basically what a lot of foundations do, they just give a check and say, give me a monthly report and give me a quarterly report.
Right.
You are following your dollars. You are also investing your time. And just like, you know, with tithing, a lot of people get it twisted with tithing. Tithing is not just financially. Right. And it's not just tithing to a church. What you guys are doing is tithing to your community.
Absolutely.
And your tithing is time, treasure, and talent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're taking a Friday off, half day from your job, your business, to come in, you're tithing your time to read, your time, you're tithing your dollars to make sure this keeps going. You can provide books.
Right.
And you're timing your treasure and your talent.
Yeah.
You know, and that's powerful. So when we say, well, you know, we just go in on a Friday, we can't just let that go by. That is powerful.
Exactly. Yeah. And the idea of, I'm glad you said that, because the idea of this, you know, collective impact's a term that's popular now, but I like the term because it really talks about what you can do together. And giving together is powerful. You know, I have, you know, a finite amount of financial resources,
right,
at least right now in my life. But what I'm able to do with, you know, with these other brothers is powerful. And what we're able to leverage as a result of that is equally as powerful. And one of the things I didn't mention before that allows us leverage is this partnership with Arizona Community Foundation again. Mm-hmm. Once we raise our initial $25,000, the Arizona Community Foundation is going to match $25,000.
See.
So that's $50,000 that we get to reinvest in the community. And that, I think, you know, it's not $1 million, but it's a great start.
It's
that
a seed.
Has an opportunity exactly to plant that seed, and we will see the, you know, we'll reap the rewards, you know, pun intended there, for years to come. And I really want to, you know, in 10 years, in 20 years, I want REAP to be, you know, to have expanded to people, for people to really understand why we started, why we've done what we've done, and for that impact to be very, very apparent, very visual in our community.
And look, as we have listeners from all over the country, no amount is too small. You just said once REAP raises its first $25,000, the Arizona Foundation will match that. That's yeah. $50,000.
Right.
You know, no amount is too small.
Right. That's a dollar-for-dollar match.
Okay, so someone right now, if they wanted to donate or mail $5, who would they send that to? What's going on?
Awesome. So we've made it really easy, and again, this partnership with ACF allows us to use some of their resources. So they've got a great website. They've been able to build us a website that's linked to there. So
what's the website?
If you were to go to www.azfoundation.org /REAP, you'll see an opportunity to give. So there'll be a give tab there. And if folks were interested in pledging $5 or $500 or $5,000, they have the opportunity to do that right there. It's very easy. It's safe. It's secure. It's, you know, legitimate. All of those things.
Right.
And if folks here in Phoenix are interested in actually becoming members of REAP, they have the opportunity to do that.
Right.
Either through, you know, again, that $1,000 a year or even $83 a month, like a lot of us brothers do.
So $1,000 a year, $83 a month. And for some people might say, I don't necessarily want to be a member.
Right.
But they can say, here's my $50. Here's my $20.
Right. Yeah. Lots of people. We want people to essentially become friends of REAP, right, to support our vision, support this idea, and really want to see this come to fruition. They have the opportunity to give as well.
And how can people get in touch with you if they want to hear more about it, or if they want to bring a REAP concept to Chicago or Tennessee or Virginia, Baltimore?
Right. Through our website as well, we have a Contact Us tab that I check regularly, that our other founders check, and we have the opportunity to respond and to get in touch with folks that reach out to us.
So one more time, how can they get in touch with you? What's the website link?
Website is www.azfoundation.org/REAP.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us today,
man.
I really
so
appreciate
much.
It, bro. And thank you for listening to the Father Matters Show. Send us your questions or comments to info@fathermatters.org. Thank you to my engineer, Jeremy Siegel. See you next week at the same time, same place. Have a safe week. Thank you, and God bless.